Hello, and welcome to the Experience Corporation Break Room. I am one of the people that helped make the podcast, and there are four more of them.
I'm also one.
And who are you, one other one?
I'm Vanessa Thurman.
Thanks for being here.
I actually didn't help with the podcast. Maybe I should leave.
No.
Are you sure?
You were on it.
No. You sound really familiar.
I know. I get that a lot. I'm Len. I voice Dalmont.
I'm Sam. I'm a writer on the podcast. I also voice Cameo.
Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you very much.
You weren't here last week. Georgie subbed in for you.
Oh, thank goodness.
Was really insistent on speaking for you. I don't know if...
It was not discussed beforehand, okay. But I was told after the fact.
It was like, everything I say is endorsed by Sam.
I've had to do a pretty extensive walk back tour these past couple weeks, and it has been trying. And if anyone knows how I can get back into my Facebook, just let me know. Georgie, if you're listening to this, I will find you.
Yeah, I'm Kate. I'm here.
Yes.
As well.
But yeah, this is the last episode of season one. So it'll be the last time that we get around and talk about season one.
I know.
Until season two.
Until
we make callbacks to season one.
Yeah. Then you're going to have to get a little...
Until season two. And then until we have to make callbacks to season one.
Yeah.
You know, my voice is medically too quiet.
Medically underspeaking.
Medically too quiet.
Like the Troy Sivan thing?
Yes. Yeah. Like how Troy Sivan is medically a twink.
Medically a twink.
I went to voice training and they did some levels on my voice and they were like, your voice is... literally too quiet.
Wow.
So even if it wasn't like a getting gender related voice training, I would need volume related voice training.
Too quiet for whom?
Apparently the decibels. They just...
Well, so it's...
I spoke
it's a symptom
it
of
quiet.
A different issue. It's like, it's you're speaking, if you're too quiet because you're speaking in a way that's not supported, and so you're damaging your vocal cords.
Oh,
okay. So you're like not connecting with your chest, and you're damaging it up here. Kate does the same thing.
Yeah,
not diagnosed, but diagnosed by me.
Because my throat starts hurting within 2 seconds when I'm in a loud place. Mm.
Okay.
Like last night.
Yeah, it's hard. It's crazy that you're not supposed to move your vocal cords. You're just supposed... Your voice isn't supposed to come from your vocal cords. It's supposed to be the breath moving through your vocal cords and making a noise.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
my
get
mind.
How to do that.
I also
Take
don't get
breath.
How to do that.
And now just speak. This has turned into Vanessa giving voice training to everyone. Okay, so take a deep breath. And then speak, but you're just letting the air out. Like you're letting the...
Like I'm just... I can't do it. It's
yeah,
too
you can.
Whispy.
Okay, so here. We'll cut this bit soon. Okay, so I'm here. Okay, wait, let me... So this is like not supported in any way. And now I'm supporting it by using my breath under it and getting a good breath and speaking.
So am I breathing out on purpose while I do it? I don't know.
Yes, exactly. That's better. You're supporting it more already. So Arc 5.
Who listened to it today or yesterday or recently?
I did. First two episodes only because I've listened to the third so many times. And it's one of my favorites. So I could talk about it. On a moment notice.
I've listened recently because I thought we were going to do this a few weeks ago.
I haven't. I was busy.
But you listen to it a lot.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to making them, I listen the most times to an episode as the sound designer. I think that's fair to say.
I don't know how much you listen to it, so I'll trust you.
It's usually 4 to 5 times.
I probably have listened to each episode like just in my day-to-day life. Because I will casually listen to my own podcast.
That's nice.
Because it's just all my friends.
That's really lovely.
It's so cute.
It's like we're all there. We're all hanging out with you.
It's comforting.
I was listening today and I was like chatting with Len on the side and it was really, that was really hard because it was like getting a call from Len and then I was talking to Len and then in the episode there's like the two Delmonts. I was very confused.
I do think about that sometimes when it's Sam and I having a conversation that if someone just recorded it, it would be like Cameo and Dalmont or just talking about things very out of character.
Yeah, there's some, I'm just thinking about some of our conversations that I wouldn't really care for those characters to have.
Let's see, what do we want to talk about first? Like plot, character, writing, sound design. Where do we want to start?
This is one of my favorite ones. That didn't answer your question at all. I just think the vibe on this one is my favorite. It's light, but there's a lot of depth. I like how it plays around. It just like feels good to listen to this one. I feel like I end up saying that a lot. Like, I feel like I'm just like the vibe girl. Like every one of these, I'm just like, the vibe is good.
I think the second and third parts are really strong. Like the first one is too, but it just...
The first one's a lot of setup.
Yeah.
It isn't dragging in a bad way, but it definitely is like, we're setting up the next two parts with all the different things we need.
Yeah, it's a real first act, right?
Yeah.
And like there, I mean, it has, oh my gosh, it has the wonderful nap song in it. Like it has some really awesome stuff in there, but definitely the part that once we get to the cons, I mean, I really enjoy being in that space and seeing the different booths. Oh, it also has the echo shooting gun thing.
Yeah, that is so funny.
That's in the first.
The ventriloquist box?
Yeah.
Yes, the ventriloquist box.
That bit is really, I think that there's a couple times where you use jokes that are innate to the audio medium. And those I just find fun.
Yeah. And it's also cool to see a little more technical magic in there too. Like we really get to see what Delmont.
Of course you would say that.
I know, I have a degree in technical magical applications. And it's really cool to see Delmont being excited about what they're excited about, kind of out of the scope of their career and their livelihood. We just get to see them excited about magic with their nemesis.
Yeah. This was in its earliest stages, we knew we needed a magic episode because it's something that is important to the series and something that becomes more important to the series as time goes on. So even though we see like some of the basics of it in the first few arcs, this is the moment where we get to sort of sit with it.
Yeah, I like how that builds to kind of the most intense and practical demonstration of magic that we've gotten so far with Celeste fighting the bug. Like that's the most like, I feel like magic moment, you know? And so it's...
I'm really seeing what is magic to most people in RMU, which is like this, like the...
Yeah, like little tech things or just like...
Like all the items in tech time, like more person, user-based
It's a
things.
Convenience-based magic that's very unique to our magic system because like we're like, there's magic, but there's still, you're still just normal people.
And I think the podcast too, and if you disagree with this, Vanessa or Kate, let me know. Like the magic, the podcast really explores techno magic specifically, but there is like a very strong relationship between technology and magic in this world, right? Like, would you agree?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like there are other type of magics. Techno magic, I think, is probably the one that is the most day-to-day scene just because it's the most day-to-day convenient. Like, you know, cloud racing is an entirely different thing, but, or like, you know, weather manipulation. But weather manipulation is seen by the citizens of 3CC every day as well. And it's an entirely different field. Or like, there are other, like plant magic. I feel like they probably see, like, there's probably beautiful displays throughout the city of plants and whatnot.
You can probably make a pretty good argument, I think, probably for any world, right? That like, magic, it's energy. Right. And it's so it's going to show up in a lot of places that aren't like, you know, a wizard school for like have writing scrolls and stuff, you know, like there's it's going to just be a part of every if it's relatively easy to access, it's just going to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it is. And I think it's probably fair to assume, like, I'm sure that the communicator runs on some magic. Right.
Yeah. Like the most recent sticker club stickers have fruits that are magically altered.
Oh,
so
cool.
And like, they look great.
Yeah, you can just like buy stuff at the store that has been made using magic.
Yeah. That's cool.
Does anyone remember the like core of the magic system that Delmont brings up during the
presentation? The theory that Delmont brings up during the presentation?
Is it theory of influence?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I wrote that line specifically based off of Kate's like rundown of how like magic works in RMU, which is like, it's not like you're directly changing things, but like if you wanted to manipulate someone's emotion, you wouldn't just like magically make them something. You would manipulate their brain chemicals to try to like get them to act in a certain way.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's like grounded in like a material sort of place instead of just like a mystical place.
It's funny because I feel like we've had so many conversations about the magic system and like how does it work and everything else. And then like, but it's not, the interest of the podcast isn't really like going into all of this detail, which it's like I think is a good thing.
It's like a magic system that has the like limitations of a hard magic system without the nerd amount of interest in it. It's not like, here's how everything works. But we behind it have that type of motivation just to keep it grounded feeling. And so it's like, it's kind of like a means to an end rather than the end where it is in many other fantasy things where like the magic system is like,
it helps define what magic can do and how the characters have to interact with it.
Yeah.
When like all of our techno babble, completely made up. Every time there's a proper noun that has to do with technology, complete BS. It's nothing more than like, does it sound cool and maybe half sort of sound like whatever the device is doing.
And also contain a tongue twister. That's really hard for me to say.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to say that I'm aware I have written a lot of techno magic gunk. It is, I do have a vague idea of what it means.
Like, every time I see them, I'm always like, Sam did a good job with the, like they're based in words that have a meaning related to it.
Yeah.
And then they're based in a thing doing a thing related to it. Like whenever I read them, it is something that I'm always like weirdly impressed by. I'm always just like, this is well grounded.
It is made up. You cannot do this magic. Yeah. You can't take this home. But it does. So a lot of those words have a little bit of a little something in there. I'm trying to think of what they talk about in the retreat episode.
The ones that I make up are all bullshit.
Really? You convinced me.
Are all, yeah.
I know. Here's what would be funny. It's like, I'm not positive who wrote which ones. So there are ones that I think Sam did based on like, you know, I guess. Because like, I don't have as close.
I think I wrote like buoyancy regulator.
Yeah, and like algothermic hydro reality denier.
Definitely
Sam.
Didn't.
Yeah. Sam Levitt. Like, okay, I have the right instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to confirm.
Or like, what's a radial?
A radial? Okay. So I don't know who did the
radial's me.
And this can go on record. There's that joke. In
this is the wrong episode, but Sam wasn't here to make this point.
Yeah. So there's the one mage all radials, which is this like nickname that Delmont. It's like a username that Delmont uses, and I truly do not understand what that is even possibly suggesting.
That was also me. I don't know. I don't know one bit. Maybe I should have. I'm sorry.
And yeah, so I thought I was like missing something, or like I was hearing it wrong. I was like, I guess I'm dumb.
Yeah, but whoever wrote it, and so you wrote that.
Yeah.
So Len wrote that, and then forgot what the joke was, and we all like. I think Caleb and I both also thought that was Sam at some point.
Nope.
Or just me. I thought that it was Sam. And I was like, and we all just forgot what the joke was. And then we just left in that it is funny in the world.
Just to Billy and Della.
And of course, the joke is like, Celeste being like, nice name. It's like, you know, there's. So, somehow Delmont has some like cred with his name. But it's like, I've pondered it deeply. I'm like, what could this possibly? A radial is. It's like
one part of a radio.
Yeah.
I just thought it sounded cool.
And it does
sound cool.
And it does sound like an in-joke.
Yeah, I guess like, it is like a radial drama.
I thought like a radial could, I think to Caleb's point, could be like a unit of measurement almost, or like a...
Well, radians is what you can measure like degrees in.
Commenters, please chime in.
Yeah, sound off.
Sound like... I want your sweet, sweet engagement, but also just like, I genuinely would like to know what people think about this. Like, what do you think it means?
But speaking of Celeste, the episode opens with Delmont working on the laptop. The first time that we see Delmont sort of working on the laptop firsthand, mostly talking about it in other episodes, talking about wanting to get back to it. But I thought it was important to start with the laptop and also allude to Celeste, since she's such a big part of this episode.
That was also such a fun scene to record, like the lying, the not lying. All the Dalmont tinkering scenes are very fun to get lost in.
It was one of my favorites too. I just really like personally love this kind of like, here's a day to day little vignette. I love sound designing it. It was like, this is what Dalmont's just doing. Here we are. We're seeing it. You know, you're just getting the little tinkering sounds. You're getting them walking. You're getting all of these things. And I feel like this stuff's often just like these little moments. I don't know. They're my favorite things.
How would you all react if a coworker came to your house and you called off of work sick? What would your reaction be? As nice as Dama was, or?
I would not answer my door.
Well, like,
and I'd be really annoyed. Like, I'd be like, what is wrong with
you? But the way that their coworkers is closer to the way any of us are. They work together as partners every day in intense situations.
Okay. Well, if any of you showed up at my house and I was sick.
I've literally brought you homemade chicken broth. I was returning something and I brought you homemade chicken broth.
Yes, it was very tasty.
Yeah, I would like to say.
And I was sick.
If anyone shows up at my door unannounced, anyone, panic is the first thing. just pure panic.
That's so true.
But if a coworker were like, could I bring you something to help you feel better? I'd be like, that's not necessary, but it would be sweet of them.
Yeah, I think it would depend on the coworker, and also knowing that Dalmont has had a few boundary issues with Cameo, that's a little tricky.
I'd like to list the coworkers I'd be okay with and not okay with.
First and last name.
Yeah, and yeah, here, I'll give you their emails too.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Their Slack code.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't think you.
I'm in.
This episode contains a good chunk that was also released when we did the Kickstarter.
That's right, we recorded everything.
Yeah.
But like, there's a whole scene that was made up for the Kickstarter that got put in with Terry.
Yes, I forgot that part's in there.
Oh yeah.
Which Terry's so funny, and it was just Vanessa being a little weirdo, a little weird grill dad type character, and like, just kills me every time.
That's so funny.
Such an awkward little character.
It's like a tailgate convention.
Yeah,
it's there's a tailgate convention outside of the other two conventions.
We gotta stop putting hats on hats.
It's the convention.
Once you have two, it's funnier the more there are.
Yeah,
like you either have one or 10, but like,
I don't know. I'm kind of with Sam here.
I mean, it makes sense. This is where a tailgating convention would be. It would be tailgating
at the convention,
right?
No, I love our hats on hats. I just forget about the hats at this point. And so we're talking about something like, wait, is that yet another like convention they're at? Like,
yeah, they go to three hole.
The
Tale of Three Cons.
Tale of Three Cons. Wow.
Yeah, I'll go back and change the name.
We gotta change the name.
Yeah, I can
do
that.
It's a three con problem.
Whoa. Ooh, wow. I like that.
Yeah.
What was it like having sort of like a little third co-star this episode?
It was really fun. I mean, I really like, oh my gosh, my phone went off.
Oh, no. I'm so rude. Oh my goodness.
Lock him up.
But I really like working with Mark. One, just because Mark, who plays Nap, is just like a real pleasure, just a really nice, really funny person. But also like Nap as a character will like really yes and Cameo, and sometimes like go further than Cameo. And it's nice. It's fun to be like not. To have, basically, I'm saying Dalmont has such a negative energy, and it's really nice to finally have someone who's like bringing Cameo up.
I actually agree with that. Also, it was, I mean, I definitely felt like Mark as Nap is fantastic, of course. I definitely did feel a different energy in the studio of, oh, suddenly Delmont is not in control here and does not know what's going on and is very stressed out and is not getting the jokes. It's just not...
Something that Caleb pointed out while listening to the comps is that Mark as an actor was very much having the same type of friendship as Cameo and Nap, and that Mark kept yes anding you and knowing Delmont. Like, we're not sure how much of it was a bit and how much of it was just genuinely what was going on in there. But in the edit, like, you listen to it and it'd be like Cameo and it'd be like, yeah, totally, like, we have to, and then Delmont be like, no. Like, it was just like that, like, again and again.
But it was funny.
It was really funny.
I Mark's ad libs.
Hilarious.
That part, like, near the end where Nap is like, yeah, sometimes I turn into a hologram and so, yeah. Is that an ad lib?
Yeah, I'm
that was like
sure.
Some Boomhauer level.
Oh no. There's a couple ad libs that Vanessa and I were like, this is so funny. How do we make this make sense? How can we buttress this bit?
How do we rearrange words we already have to make this? He'd also give some that were so unhinged that I was just like, what in his brain made him say this? Like, in a way, one of my favorites was, let's spaghetti split and get out of here. Like, like, what? Well, how does one just say those words? Like, that's not a... Huh?
And he delivers it in a way that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, it's great. And I think, Mark was a very good balance in the trio.
Yeah, I love Mark.
It was really fun working with someone who's played a character already for a while and hasn't had, like, this large of a runway to play with it. Because, like, Nap was fully formed, but we hadn't seen Nap on this big a stage yet before. Yeah.
And working with him musically is a very similar situation. He was just, like, just a good energy. Like the bit that was in the Kickstarter of the one True Bug, like, we were just sitting around, and I was like, here's the gist, what it needs to do. We only need the first opening lines, because it's going to fade out. It's a little teaser to get us money. And he's like, oh, all right. He sits for like 30 seconds. He's like, okay, I think I got it. I hand him a mic. I hit record. The take that we used was the first thing he did. I hadn't heard any of it. And I was just like, yeah, sick.
And that line is still in the final. It might not be at the very beginning. Or it might
no,
be
the
split,
line is still in there, but
in
he
there.
Like, he retook it, like, obviously, with a better mic.
The
like,
wording is slightly different.
Yeah. I love that song.
It so is.
Fun. Yeah, when I was listening to it today, I like turned it up.
What's everyone's headcanon about where the song is coming from?
I don't think about it and I don't worry about it.
So Vanessa's brought it up.
Yeah.
That's something Vanessa's thought about.
And did I have an answer previously? Because I don't right now.
Yeah.
What did I say before?
I love passionate. Past Vanessa and has no idea.
The frequency with which I don't remember something I've taken a stand on is almost always. I like am a very different. I'm a very fluid person from moment to moment. Okay, I just
Yeah.
To me, it's always felt like I Need a Bug is real, and then the song is kind of like the representation of the moments and the scene and the space.
Mm-hmm. And so Yeah, the music is just the score falling in line.
Yeah,
really
that's kind
well
of how I see it.
I agree. I like that.
Yeah. So Mark is doing a piece of slam poetry that he's improvising at the two leads.
Yeah.
And then the score just happens.
But
I
then
don't like that at all.
But Delmont hears it too.
Yeah. Yeah, Delmont does hear it.
Magic.
I know I was refusing to play in this space earlier, but because I don't like I hear it and I'm just so captivated and enchanted and I just am like, okay, I'm on board. Like, I'm on board. But I do think he has a little cassette tape.
Yeah, mine's like something like that.
Yeah, that is what you said last time too.
Little cassette tape,
or like some sort of portable. Something in the knapsack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I love Nap. He's so cool.
It also just seems like he just would have a little cassette tape. Like, I don't, even if it's not, even if it is magical music that comes out of, you know, the, like, I still think he has a little
cassette tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably some snacks in that bag, you know. Just it's snacks.
It's just like, once I start thinking about like that part of the canon with music, then I just am like, but what? Like, that song contains a sample. Don't want anyone to know that. Didn't get that legally. It's just like, but then where did that come from? The music is canon. Where's the sample from?
No.
Yeah, that's why I don't play. Right.
Where's the lighter?
Yeah. There's definitely a line of the questions you have to answer.
Yeah.
In fiction.
But there's not a sample in the song, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No. Of course.
And we like, and you know, we make playful references to things in our world. And yeah, that's fine.
Like true love.
Like true love. We make playful references to true love.
It's in our world. It's not in theirs.
This episode also is sort of our little Riley spotlight as our one of our most reoccurring characters. And one of my favorites. Mash is so funny, and I love writing villains and just annoying people to hate.
And Mash just, we've probably said this before, crushes as Riley. Like,
yeah, when you're in the booth, yeah, you feel you feel something. I definitely do feel the animosity, not towards Matt as a person, but the character. He just really brings it to life.
Yeah, when you're listening and you hear like Riley talk, do you like?
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, Riley. Yeah,
Oh no, please.
I was gonna say it's also nice to. That there's a character in this series that is more annoying than Donald.
Yes, that was originally Riley's like purpose. It was like, okay, we need to show that Delmont isn't this, so we're gonna make someone that is that there, and then it'll be easier to be like, Delmont's could be worse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something I was really enjoying this episode is that like Riley has this really classic antagonistic protagonist thing of like. Like, he's kind of unstoppable. Like, he's kind of an immovable object, right? And, like, he's such a little snaky little creepo that, like, he kind of can't be defeated. It makes him... I felt myself very endeared to the character in this episode because he's so committed to being such a little snake, a little stickler.
Oh, yeah. And... But I also... I really like... In this episode, how it feels like if Delmont and Riley met in a completely different circumstance, they would be really close friends. Yeah. They have a lot in common. And they might be more, instead of workplace rivals, it might be more of just like a healthy competition between two.
Love
an anime rival in like its third season.
Yeah, they're rivals like Akechi and Joker.
Yes.
I was thinking Bakugo and Deku in season, later season.
Yeah, two. Yeah. It's.
Not like a Gary and Ash, which is very much where they are in season one.
Yeah.
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 Do Gary and Ash ever reach
kiss?
Like have the kiss?
All the time.
There's no kissing in Pokemon.
Isn't? No.
No kissing in Pokemon.
Isn't there a move that's sweet kiss?
Yeah,
sweet but that's kiss. A sweet kiss.
Yeah.
Nintendo just busted through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. Oh, no. There's no kissing in Pokemon.
We said Pokemon three times. Their lawyers are on. Yeah, there's sweet kiss. Isn't there another kiss move?
It's like a draining kiss.
Drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, sometimes they're one and the same, baby.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's a lick.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it like that, but...
Yeah.
You guys shouldn't let me talk.
Okay, leave.
Leah, you can leave. The doors are here. Get out of your own apartment.
Leave.
We'll let you know when we're done.
I'll put in a door closing sound effect there.
Don't worry, I got you with my...
That was really good.
No. Awesome.
This whole arc has a lot of different spaces in it. I don't know, Vanessa can feel free to correct me, but like the first act, especially like probably other than maybe the first arc, like the pilot episode, we occupy so many different spaces.
Yeah. The ambience is where a lot of work on this one. And then there's the whole bug montage, which is so many different spaces in and of itself. But that kind of functions as a different thing. Something that I really am glad worked out is that I somehow was able to find the instrumentals to that math EP from like 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And I was like, it's an EP about bugs. We're going to a bunch of different bug spots. I'm just going to use a different bugs instrumental. I think there's actually even a couple unused instrumentals from that EP that show up there. That's like a little in bit.
Yeah. Because that was one of my favorite surprises when I was listening to the first sound design draft. Because I didn't know you were going to put Nat music in there. And I was like, thematically it matches.
Finding those, I found a beat that I produced for that I don't remember doing, that I'm like, this is the coolest Nat beat, and I'm trying to get Mark to do something with it now. Like, there's one that I'm just like, what was she doing? This is sick. So hopefully, I think I maybe even posted that one on Patreon, so there might be an instrumental up there already. Well, then I remembered, then the move comes in during the fight when Nap is with the bug. That was good job there too, Vanessa. Sorry, not for two me congratulating myself in a row, but that, like, because it also like works well for fight music, that little dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. It does.
I really like how that worked out. That fight sequence is really fun.
And it was one of those things that I felt like when it was written, we were all like, who knows what this is going to sound like? But then you, in between, start working on graphic audio.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I do shit like this, and I want to do it actually good and fun and better.
Yeah,
and
as you said, you feel less bad about writing absolutely unhinged things, knowing the unhinged things I have to sound design for my job. You're like, oh, she's got this at least. Yeah, it's like, I got to do wild things there. Like, yeah, I got to do like an army of shapeshifters fighting an army of vampires. And that's
what
much...
does that sound like? My blood. Wait, no, I'm one of you.
I feel like I'm really there.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm good at my job.
Bleh.
Bleh.
Bleh, I'm dying on the battlefield.
No, but, and then you had a really, this is just like really in the weeds, like, you, when we were getting ready on this episode, you took on a couple more like comps and things and were like, you go work on this scene first. Like, don't work on anything else for a week. And I am so thankful you did that, because that scene was a chat. Sound designing bug was... Oh,
you literally bought...
I had to get a new
and it
plugin.
Sounds... It's so cool.
Shout out.
Like, it's so good.
Alexander Panos color transfer. It's the coolest plugin I've ever used. Like, free plug for that. I mean, it's not free, but I'm letting you know. If you're a sound designer, producer, it's been making its way into a bunch of music now that I've been making. It just lets you take the sonic qualities from one sound and imprint them on another in a way that's really cool. So I took these like lens screaming mixed with a super distorted synthesizer. And that turned into bug. And it was like, it was cool.
Yeah. I think the fact that you made the bass for it, like Len's voice, is so cool. And narratively, like the continuity to that is sick.
Mm-hmm. It was weird to hear my voice as bad.
Can you tell when you're hearing it? Like, that's...
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them sound like Gen 1 Pokemon sounds, but they're like so distorted and like 8-bitty almost, that they're so clipped.
And I love that the when you can hear the sound the most, like when I love the bug sounds the most, is that in that last scene with Nap, where like the score, like you were originally going to score something and I was like, I don't even think you need to. Like, I think this works so well by itself, and just like hearing like how big the bug sounds and how like quiet everyone in that big room is. Well, Nap just is like, has a microphone like, hey bro, like,
yeah. And the bug inflation, let's collab. Is so cool.
Yeah,
like where it's just growing in the backpack yes. rips, suddenly it's huge. Hey, mom
guys,
and dad are fighting outside.
Guys, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, that was
that was a good one. That really got me.
Yeah, there were more improvs that didn't make it in that were also funny, just because like they were funny, but it was like kind of serious. Like the I'm gonna cry is funny, but there was like, no, really, I mean it. I'm about to start crying, guys. Like, I don't know if that stayed in, but that was one that was in until a very late edit, I think.
Yeah, it was mostly just to keep it moving, but it was so funny. When I was writing this episode originally, the only thing I knew I wanted to do was a like two dates to the prom type story.
Yeah.
And I think the dynamic between Cameo and Nap is such a good like thing to flip to while you're like going from Delmont trying to run around and like solve problems to just like the two of them ordering food at the food court. That dichotomy is really fun. And I also wanted to sort of explore thematically how like bugs are sort of like computers. Like bugs are little, like insects are little computers. They could like using pheromones and like things, they just sort of operate how they're going to operate. They don't think in the same ways we do. They use their instinct, but like, instinct is still a perfectly valid like form of knowledge, equal but different to, not separate, equal.
it's its own way of
knowing and seeing the world. And like Delmont is very focused on seeing it one way, and Nap is like, no, like this is how we're gonna do things today.
Yeah, and that like contrasted too with all the techno magic that is like a little more gimmicky, just in the sense, because it's very like salesy and kind of showing off all the new technology. And it like you almost get a sense of the different companies too, like the politics of it versus just like the bugs.
Yeah.
Like, it does feel like if Delmont didn't have a two dates to the prom situation, they probably would have more of an appreciation for it, which also is really interesting. It's not like, this isn't somewhere that Delmont wouldn't enjoy being. So that was good job.
Does anyone have a favorite convention scene stop out of the like montages and the little moments around the both conventions?
So I really like when Delmont goes to get the holo machine from Jocelyn. And I was really enjoying that scene when I was re-listening today. And it's because in that context, Delmont gets to be sort of like the goofy instigator. And he gets to be a little devious and like a little pushy and a little kind of silly. And... I just really like getting to see Delmont in that position. Delmont is a really funny character, and a lot of the comedic games that they play are like, you know, being a stickler or being too ambitious or something like that. And this is a very different comedic Delmont, and I think Glenn does a great job. So it's not my favorite because it's like, oh, there's a cool bug in it. And there are, like, the snake bug is just, like, that's probably, like, my favorite. Just, like, bit. It's so funny. I love that scene with Jocelyn. It's such a different dynamic for Delmont and Jocelyn to some degree.
No, because, like, we just saw Jocelyn in the previous arc where Delmont was like, oh, you're the cool kid. And then in this one, Delmont's like, let me steal your invention and then not give it back and not call you or tell you anything about it. There was actually originally an idea to have the episode end with like a voicemail from Jocelyn, but it just didn't. There was too many other dramatic things happening that it just felt there was already like three different endings because we had to like we said goodbye to Nap and Bug, then we say goodbye to Riley, and then Cameo and Delmont have their final moment, and then there's a tag at the end, which we can talk about in a second because it's really good. So it was just like did not fit, but it's definitely a loose end and a plot hole that I've thought about. And if Jocelyn ever shows up again, it'll be like, oh, Delma. In my mind.
I also think there's like, there is something, we kind of get at it when like Jocelyn is calling them like we're fudge buds or whatever, that like they, after the events of the retreat episode, like seemingly like they had more friendship and like yes. more like I like that suggestion, because Delmont is just like so emotionally beaten up for so much of the retreat episode. It's nice to find out like, okay, so they did become like friends yeah. in some way. Like, that's good.
And now they're enemies.
And
now,
ooh, no. and now,
for- I, oh, my scene. I love the snail race.
Yes.
I just like, I think that Sage killed it so hard. I think that it like wasn't like,
there was a couple ad libs in there too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like a lot of, like yeah. like she just kind of went off. Like
yeah.
I just like, it was kind of like tagged on to a session. We were getting some pickups. It's like, oh, I guess we have this, and just like ate it up. And like, it took a scene that was like, oh, this is kind of funny, to being, to then being like
yeah.
super funny to me.
No. Yeah. It need, that beat needs, that or that bit needs the energy of the, like the premise of the joke is a snail race, like
yeah.
a high intensity, a full a snail one.
Yeah, if you I will. Think like genuinely almost all of the lines are improv on that. Like thinking back to it, like there was like a lot of things that I thought were added. Not all, no, wrong, incorrect.
I wrote. So I am a little funny. I'm just kidding.
No, I just remember there being like a lot of improv.
There's a lot of I think some of the like the structure of the beats, but then some of the like, oh, there's a spin out, and then there yeah. was like a Larry. One of the snail names was completely made up, and then like yes. two of the things that happened in the commentary are ad libbed as well, and they're all wonderful. The snake bug bit.
Yeah.
Also gets at sort of, it gets at the theme of like knowing, like how do you know something is what it is? Do you know because someone told you, like a trusted academic source? Do you know because you're looking at it and it looks a lot like a snake? Or do you know that you feel like Nap does, that it is a bug and that it deserves to be?
Once again, another beautiful trans allegory.
It's kind of our Ship of Theseus moment, really.
Wait, what is Ship of Theseus?
Or if you have a ship and you replace all the boards one by one, oh, is yes, it still the yes, same
yes.
ship?
Yes, like, I've heard that.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy philosophical stuff.
Yeah. And it also gets at RMU lore in a fun way, because we were like, certain animals don't exist in RMU, so the fact that, like, Vanessa brought this up, the fact that like it's a snake but it's actually a bug could lend itself to other things looking like animals that don't exist but they're actually like variants of them.
Yeah,
it always reminds me of like one of my favorite, I think it's the Legend of Korra bit, where like in Avatar almost all the animals are like a blank blank, like a lemur rat or like a sky bison. Well, those are, it's a, but you know what I mean? But like, there's like a duck bear and there's a, you know, a rabbit bear. And then like the prince has a bear and everyone's like, oh, what kind of bear? And they're like, it's just a bear. And it's like a really funny.
That's really funny. That's really good.
We see Celeste and some of Celeste's employees. Shout out to all of them. Blender, Salamander, Skew. Just so many great performances.
Yeah.
Across the board, but especially in this third episode, I love Riley's scene with Salamander. I think the way they play off of each other is really, they weren't actually in the room together, but the way their two performances play off each other is really
fun.
I agree.
Who played Salamander's Skew?
My friend Nasser.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful mm-hmm. performance.
Yes.
They did a great job.
It was really fun to record and really fun to hear pitched. It's sort of like the Fudge Vincent thing, where when you put the auto tune on a very dynamic performance, it just like lends itself to a really fun
space. I was so invested and excited about like seeing Salamander Skew and Celeste like interacting and getting a sense of like that corporate structure and corporate relationship. I'm really excited about that. I didn't realize when we were writing the episode that that would be like a point of interest for me. But I'm like, ooh, like I like this intrigue that's going on. It was really cool. And the performances, like I didn't really think about what Salamander Skew's voice would be. And then hearing that performance, I was like, oh, this is such an incredible direction and they have such a specific dynamic. Oh, it just works just perfect for me.
Because the third part of this episode was broken and written on the fly compared to the other two, because it was originally going to be just a two-part episode like all the other ones. And then the more we were talking about it, we wanted to do more with this episode, and it just felt like it deserved an extra piece, and I'm glad we went that way.
And it also then ended up working great as like a season ender because of that.
Yes, it's a three-parter crossover blockbuster spectacular. Yeah.
You get to spend a little more time in that world and have those conventions, and I think that's really nice. It's a really nice thing about this episode.
Mm-hmm. And everyone, like all of the four main players get plenty to do and plenty of scenes. But that very last scene with Salamander.
Yes.
Like
the post credits.
Yeah, those just like hearing the robot footsteps and the way the score works and
love
like
the score.
The just like this vibe that they're just like watching the screen together and like not looking at each other and like talking about their plans in vague ways, and like it's just so good. It's like very cheesy, and it's not like unique, but it's like doing that type of scene so well, and then it just like it's such a good end to the season.
I forgot it was there. What does it end with, like a dun, 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 stinger, or does it end with
the fake tag at the end of the last arc
at the end of four? That's what I thought. I can't remember what goes on in this
were you able to get the laptop?
Trying to remember what the score is under it.
I cannot hum the score. But in case, because it's very subtle, if in the interview scene with Salamander Skew, Riley like passes the laptop and Salamander like is on it.
For a long time.
For a while in the scene.
It's kind of this weird moment.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, can I get that back? And it's like, yeah, sure. Type.
Here you go.
And like in that moment, set Delmont back, which is where we'll find Delmont at the beginning of next season.
And as Kate, as someone who wasn't like writing, who isn't as deep into like everything going on, do those things feel like telegraphed to you and nothing? Like, do you get what I mean? Or do they feel like it's just like kind of happening? Or do they feel like...
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean.
Were you able to pick up on that?
I did not notice the typing. So honestly, I was listening to everything, and then once I got to the end, I was kind of like, I wasn't really listening anymore, and I didn't listen to the
just that something that I don't know if you learned this when you were studying like screenwriting, Caleb, but just like how much plot audiences tend to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And like you know, there was all this thing of like, if someone gives you a note that's like, oh, like, I don't understand why this thing happened. It's very common for writers to be like, oh, well, but in scene three, they said this. It's like, that's actually not important, because like what that means is that you didn't give them enough to understand it. Yeah. Like you have to be really explicit. If it's really important someone understands something, you have to be super explicit and probably repeat it.
Yes.
And this is stuff that like we're a little more comfortable with you not
seeing the first time and then noticing.
And it, you know, maybe or maybe not, this will come up later.
Mm-hmm.
Who could say?
I've heard a couple different, sorry to get distracted. I've heard a couple different takes on that.
Yeah.
Because some people are like, well, if it's important, like you have to say it twice. I've also heard feedback that like, if it's really important, you need to make sure that it's in a moment. Yeah. especially if it's like a character beat or a character plot point versus like a sort of general plot point just to move things along. Yeah. Making sure it's at a moment that's unforgettable, like tying it to an emotional beat that carries and resonates in the audience's mind. But this final scene, the fairy foam ad lib between the two of you, there was like three different takes that I spliced together for the like the back and forth. The, oh, can you carry?
Oh, yeah. Or, that was ad libbed?
Yeah. Well, it was like the setup wasn't ad libbed, but then the like, oh, can I bring my fairy foam? Oh, it's heavy. No, yeah. Here, I'll play real quick. I don't know why. It's just so funny.
I like that too.
That's very, very cozy.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening to the Experience Corporation
Break Room
and the Experience Corporation Break Room as well.
Yeah,
you've listened to both now, or maybe you've only listened to this one, which would be wild.
If you've only listened to this one, let us know.
Yeah,
now we'd like to address
you. You want a shirt?
You can get a shirt. I will buy you with my own money.
Don't say that.
Yeah, because you have no way to confirm.
What if we go super mega viral and you have to buy like 20,000 shirts.
Oh no, just the one person. First come, first serve.
Oh, okay, cool.
Also don't lie.
I'm looking out.
If you've listened to all five of these companion episodes, plus the one that's gonna come out after this.
Yeah.
And you haven't listened to any of the actual podcasts it's
about. Oh, I see.
100% I'll buy you a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's fair. Super fair.
Mm-hmm.
Unverifiable.
And let's just get your credit card information out there so that we can get that purchase made really easily.
Yeah. You want my security code?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I was walking past a person in a car today. They were just like parked on the side of the road and they were on speakerphone. And like there was this robot voice and it was just like, before we continue, like be prepared with your social security number. And like, I was just like, you're just
love it
out here.
Love it.
Even in my apartment, if I have to like say it out loud, I'm just like, I know how well I can hear other people. Like,
I'm always shocked at how many just like written forms I need to write it down on.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
doesn't feel that secure, does it?
There was a moment where like I memorized mine when I was about 18. I don't remember where the card is, but there was a moment where I thought I had it wrong for a couple years. Yeah. And there was like a second where it's like, I think I've put the wrong social security number on 8 years of documents. Turns out I didn't, thankfully.
Thanks again for listening to the Experience Corporation Break Room. It's been a pleasure making the first season. The second season's on its way. Excited to have you all listen to it. Thanks for the support.
Just because it's the last Break Room does not mean this is the last bonus content. We will still be uploading bonus content about once a month, just in a different form.
Yeah, the next thing on the docket after the Mark and Matt episode will be some RPG world building fun stuff.
Yeah. And if there's anything you guys want to hear,
let us know.
If there's anything you guys don't want to hear, also let us
know. Yeah, honestly, that would be
good. Because the ASMR episode that we had planned, it turns out, might be a little bit more panned than I thought.
Yeah. There was also like a staring contest segment that I was thinking about.
Turns out, that just wouldn't be fun because we all know you never blink, Caleb.
Yeah. I've never. My eyes are bone dry.
You blinked during that line.
Well, I wasn't going to actually not blink for the bit.
Well, interesting. Anyway. Good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.
Ice cream.